Railway Stories from the Monsall Trail, the trains. This episode features the voices of people who travelled the line and remember the trains, mostly from the age of steam.
There were a lot of freight trains for a start, because basically it was, you could see the commerce of the nation and the industry of the nation. I suppose there are many main lines where you do this, but that line, there were freight trains with the big freight engines on the front, and it will be coal, an awful lot of coal. I can't say how many wagons, but a long string of wagons, and that would need up here a banker on the back to help push. So the freight trains were impressive, and if you, it seemed to be going slowly, but if you tried to run along the platform, you couldn't keep up with it. Well, this is a slow train, keep it, it's gone. And they were sort of slowly surging through the station. The expresses were obviously on their way from London to Manchester. There were several a day in both directions. And usually they were pulled by these big express passenger engines, the Jubilees. And we used to wait for those, mostly to get the names from them, this variety of names. They were called Leeward Islands, Malta, Sandwich Islands, the Straits Settlements, Nelson, Jellicoe, all places, colonies if you like, and characters who built the empire. And of course they were built in the 30s, weren't they? And they were quite a sight up here, because as you know it's a long slope, isn't it? And what I used to like about them was, as they turned the corner at Rosley, you could hear the regulator go over, and these big engines, you start to feel the power and hear the beat of the steam, and they climb all the way through Bakewell. And by the time they get to Longston, these are the down trains from London, they were really climbing the hill, and really under full power, say 8, 9, 10 carriages, quite often very well loaded. And what I used to think about them was, well, here am I in the country, right, and there are these things going by. And it was like a big piece of the city and industry and commerce. But it wasn't really anything to do with the countryside. They just powered on through. And the best one was the last express from St Pancras. Got up here about 10 o'clock. That one was always in the dark. Most of the year it was in the dark. And that had come up this line here with sparks coming from the chimney. Absolutely flying out from the chimney as it came through the bridge down here. The sparks would bounce off the underside of the bridge and it would power its way through at a faster speed than the others that were climbing the hill. So we used to like watching that one. So that was good. Often in the summer, there were complaints from Bakewell because it had set the golf links on fire. So there you go. That was that one. The other ones, they coast the other way on the whole. All the drama of coming up the hill was because Headstone's Tunnel, and that was quite something in Headstone's Tunnel. If you were in there, I've never been in there with an express. If you were in there with one of these expresses, and my father tells a tale of going through with one at some time, or it may be another railwayman's tale. But the idea was, as they came up the hill, the line was deliberately built with downward slopes so that the driver could really get the train going again, and then they hit Monsaldale Viaduct and climbed through the Dales with the same performance. Those tunnels, Cresbrook Tunnel, Lytton Tunnel, and finally they arrived at Millersdale. So they were a sight going up through the valley. And another thing about them was, my father was the... Monsaldale was his station as well, tiny station, and it had one porter, but of course the station master had to go and do the official things. He went to pay the wages on the train. But when one of those expresses went through there, the whole wooden building shook, and you could be in the office and the whole thing would be coming down the line. It'd loom over you, a platform about this high, wooden building, and it used to come straight at the office window, and then it'd veer, and everything would shake. So that's what they did. It'll never happen again. They haven't got those locomotives, have they? You knew the train had missed the station. We hoped it would.
I can imagine what the controls of a diesel train have, but what controls does a steam train have?
Well, I think a lot of heritage steam train buffs will know this a lot better than I do. But they had a big, they seemed to be to the fire doors, of course, and there was a big steam regulator, wasn't there, that controlled the speed. I think this is right. You'll probably find somebody to tell you I didn't know what I was talking about. They had a handle of some kind to apply the vacuum brakes. There were vacuum brakes, weren't they, to the train, if it was a passenger train, or even some, what they used to call, fitted freight trains. So there was a handle for that. There were dials for steam pressure. There was a tube, I think it was, a glass tube about that thick, which had water in it. That was the same level as the water in the boiler. Oh, reversing was a bit of a pantomime. There was a reversing lever because you've got to change the direction of the piston, haven't you? So I think this is the way it went. If you wanted to go backwards, you had to stop, push this lever over, and then the piston would go the other way, the same way that it had just finished. You know, there was mechanism to do it anyway. But the one I remember most was a wheel that you did this with. And the guards had those in their brake vans too. And that was to wind down the brakes for the engine to stay stationary. You pulled into the station and wound the stationary brake down. And the guards used to have one to regulate the brake in the guards van, because none of the wagons had brakes, many of them didn't have brakes, for running brakes. It was a running brake for the guard, and he'd wind his brakes down, and that had, on hills downward grades, it would provide some, it would help to prevent the train running away, that sort of thing. It was there were sort of big wheels and giant levers, and that sort of very satisfactory sort of controls, I suppose, not like the buns we have today.
I was a young teenager in the early 60s, and my parents used to drop me off at Millersdale Station to watch the engines while they went on to spend the afternoon with my aunt that lived in Buxton. It was always exciting to see these big, powerful engines come thundering towards you over the viaducts, and as they got closer, quite often you got covered in coal dust and smoke. That didn't go down very well when you were on your way to see your maiden aunt in Buxton. But that was part of the joys of being an engine enthusiast in the early 60s, as I recall it.
Do you remember if the steam trains, did they have a distinctive sound at all? Could you describe what that was?
I don't know what to say it was. They've got several, really. I mean, it was a roar when you got these expressors. It was really frightening. But, I mean, it was more of a chuff-chuff type of thing when they're just going about, and when there was shunting wagons and things like that. You always hear them shunting about. Oh, they were a racket. And I can remember as a kid listening to them, they used to let the wagon go, and you listen, and all of a sudden you just a clack, and you think, hey, oh, that's joined on to go up to the others now.
This podcast was produced by InHeritage on behalf of the Peak District National Park Authority to celebrate the reopening of the railway tunnels for walkers, cyclists and horse riders on the Monsall Trail. Interviews were conducted in March 2011. Thank you to all who offered their memories of the Midland Railway. We're grateful for funding from Cycling England. Steam locomotive recordings are courtesy of Steam Sounds. Monsall Trail Blues is written by Steve Russell and performed by the Slingshots.